Southern Bible Institute. Brother Harold Pierce Jr. He's a youth pastor. So that means he's right down there in the trenches, y'all, on the front line, front row. So, Brother Pierce, would you do us the honors? Come on down and preach the word. Bless you, brother.
Testing. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to stand before your people. God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your strength. God, we pray for clarity of word. God, we pray that the word falls on good ground.
Test. Okay, there we go. If you would, please stand with me. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have it, say amen. If not, say wait a minute. All right. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. It says, I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I am a man in Christ. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Just for the next few minutes, I want to speak about when the thorn becomes your companion. When the thorn becomes your companion. In the Greco-Roman culture, you would find those people that are driven by self-adoration and self-praise. Oftentimes, they would compare themselves to one another using their rhetorical skill and the use of irony. In other words, they fueled themselves on arrogance and confidence. It was a conceited culture. It is within this culture that Paul stands boldly by letter and uses his same rhetorical skill to boast, not about himself, but about his weaknesses in Jesus Christ. he stands bold in this culture, and he tells these same people that you lack understanding when you sit up and you compare yourselves. You lack understanding. Wouldn't it be a great thing if the people of God would take our God-given gifts and stand in the midst of our culture and remind our culture about the goodness of God? Wouldn't it be an awesome thing if we would stand bold and remind the people of our culture, hey, it's not about who looks the best. It's not about who can preach the best. It's not about who drives the best cars or wears the fanciest clothes. It's simply about God's business, and that's it. We find Paul having to defend himself within this culture, and he goes on bragging and boasting about his weaknesses. He talks about being stoned, being shipwrecked, being thirsty, going through trials and tribulations, even facing some people that claim to be on his side, but yet they were out to get him. Paul moves on to chapter 12, where he opens up dealing with visions and revelations. Please understand that in this culture, the type of revelation that Paul received, this would have made him a special type of person. The revelation was so great, so he could have easily been looked as the top guy. But he reminded them, hey, even though this revelation was good, God gave me a thorn. He gave me a thorn to keep me in my place. This thorn, many scholars have debated what the thorn was. Some say it was a psychological issue. Some say it was something physical. But and even some have even mentioned that it was sexual temptation. But whatever this thorn was, it was sent by Satan and allowed by God to bring him discomfort. What do you do in your life when God allows some mess in your life that won't leave? What do you do in your life when you are experiencing so much discomfort and it seems like God is not paying you any attention? The thorn has become your companion. It won't leave. It has taken up residence in your soul. It won't leave your mind. It's taken up residence and hadn't paid not 1 cent for rent. It's taken up residence. The thorn has become your companion. Well, Paul gives us a few things that we could do. First of all, in verse 7, it says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of revelation, the surpassing greatness of revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh. I challenge you, first of all, when you get a thorn, treat it as a gift. It's in the text. It says a thorn was given me. Paul didn't ask for it. He didn't request it. It was simply given to him. It was a gift. See, the issue that we have when we receive these types of gifts, we don't appreciate them because we don't like the way that they come wrapped. These gifts are not presented to us in the form of fancy bowls and fancy wrapping paper. These types of gifts are given to us in the form of stress and discomfort, feeling overwhelmed, feeling insignificant. Whatever the thorn is, Paul challenges us here to embrace it as a gift. Embrace it as a gift. This the messenger of Satan, it was sent to harass me, to keep you off course, to keep your mind off of Christ. That's what the thorns do. But then Paul keeps going. Not only should we treat it as a gift, but we need to receive the word given. So Paul has this thorn, and the natural reaction for a believer when we get thorns is to start praying. So Paul prays about this thorn over and over again, but yet heaven is not speaking to him. What do you do when you have a thorn and yet it seems like heaven is completely silent?
And then when heaven speaks, it's not the answer that you thought you were going to get. See, Paul prayed for the thorn to be removed, but God's answer was this. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, listen, my grace is good enough and my power is fully present. My grace is good enough and my power is fully present. So whatever you're going through, you already have the stuff on the inside of you that you need to get through it. God's power is fully present within you. But the issue that we have, we focus more so on our thorn rather than God's power. If we focus on the power of God, when we have these issues, the weight won't seem as heavy because God has already told us that his grace is good enough. And I'm trying to move along. He said his grace is good enough and his power is made perfect in your weakness. So you treat it as a gift and you receive the word given. But not only that, we ought to respond accordingly. And we know Paul responded to the word because he uses therefore. So since God's grace is sufficient, since God's power is fully present, he says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Since God's grace is good enough. See, he was already boasting about his weaknesses. Now he's telling us that he's going to take it up a notch. He said, I'm going to do it more gladly so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, he has this thorn, but he's made the decision to allow the power of God to make his home within him. He's no longer going to fight against it. He's made a decision to let God's power have its way within him. In life, when you're faced with thorns, we have to make up our mind that God's power is greater than our own willpower. We can't fight like God. Our hands can't fit the boxing gloves. We're too small to fit in the ring. We have to allow God to have his way in our lives. This is what Paul is doing. He has received the power of God. Now he's going to put it to use. So now in verse 10, we see how Paul's pain has now turned into a praise report. He says, for the sake of Christ, then. See, he points it right back to Christ. He understands that. See, watch this. In this culture, they would like him to talk about himself. But he's pointing it back to Christ. He says, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses. Why? Because he understands that God's grace is good enough. I am content with weaknesses, insults. Talk about me. Say what you want to say about me. I'm content because God's power has made his home within me. Not only that, I welcome hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's mentality has totally shifted. He's welcoming the opposition. He's learned through experience to be content with his thorn, because he understands that since God allowed it, it's going to make him better. It's going to make him stronger. When he's weak, he's not going to rely on his own power. He's going to depend on the power of Jesus Christ himself. But before I take my seat, let me remind you of somebody else that embraced some thorns. His name was Jesus Christ. He embraced a crown of thorns. He embraced the cross as a gift. He carried the cross. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. They put the nails in his hands and in his feet. But he embraced the thorn and he didn't say a mumbling word. The thorns had become his companion. They made sure it was a good fit for him. But yet he embraced all that he was going through as a gift. Why? Because he had me in mind. He had you in mind. He understood that his assignment was greater than himself, and yet he went through it. So when you have thorns, listen, it's not even about you. God is growing you up to be used for his kingdom. So within this culture, don't waste time worrying about who's the best preacher or who's the it factor right now. You have the gift on the inside of you. You have God's power on the inside of you. And it's time to go to work. Amen.
Amen. Amen.